Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
On this Monday morning, when the work of our calling begins anew, we hear a word from the Apostle Paul about work. Work out your own salvation, he says, with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Paul, an imprisoned slave of Jesus Christ, about ready, he says, just a few verses later, to be poured out like a drink offering, exhorts his beloved Philippians to obey, that is, to heed his words. Paul is approaching the finish line of his earthly race. As he strains forward, pressing on toward the heavenly goal, he calls the Philippians to live in Christ. He exhorts them to live in the inheritance that they have been given, to live as blameless, innocent children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, shining, he says, as lights of the world, holding fast to the word of life. The Christian life is no slouching towards heaven, to use the words from the title of Judge Bork's book. It is a determined and disciplined race, marked by steadiness and perseverance. This race is more like a marathon than an easy sprint. There are temptations along the way, temptations to take dead-ended detours that promise heaven but lead to hell, that promise pleasure but lead to pain. The evil one does not cease in his relentless attack on those who bear the name of Christ. Fatigue and exhaustion are real as the world and the flesh beckon the war-weary Christian to relax, to take it easy, not to fight so hard. It is a race that is run under the cross. The cross is not an emblem of glory, a trophy of victory standing at the end of the track. Our Lord's cross is what puts us in the race in the first place. We run under its banner, and the cross alone guarantees the outcome. The Christian life is not about you. It is all about Jesus, who humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. There on the cross, salvation was accomplished. The righteous one dies for the unrighteous. Christ is gift before he is example, Luther reminds us. Christ as example leaves us under condemnation. Who can do as he has done? What would Jesus do? Well, he was born of a virgin. That pretty much shuts down any chance of salvation by example. I have been crucified with Christ, says Paul, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul's words in our text are a variation on that theme. The Christ who is for you now lives in you to will and to work for his good pleasure. It is the life that is lived by faith in his promises, forgiveness for sins, acquittal in the place of condemnation, life in the place of death. It is a life that is lived in his cross. Remember the words of the pastor in the baptismal liturgy. Receive the sign of the Holy Cross, both upon your forehead and upon your heart, to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Jesus' cross is our identity, for he has redeemed you, that you may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, even as he is risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, says the Catechism. Paul's exhortation to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling is not the ugly intrusion of synergism. This can be seen by the way that Paul finishes the sentence, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. These words reflect the vocation of the Christian in light of the cross. We walk in danger all the way, says an old hymn. To fear God, Haberly reminds us, is more than a numinous trembling before the divine. It is a life lived with the recognition of the somber possibility of being lost. C.S. Lewis illustrates this in his Narnia Chronicles as the children are getting ready to go and see the great lion Aslan. One of the children inquires of Mrs. Beaver of the great lion, "Is he safe?" Mrs. Beaver replies, "Of course he's not safe, he's a lion. But he's good." Our God is not a domesticated deity. He is not safe, but he is good. How good he is, we know from our Lord Jesus Christ, who came as our Savior. As the hymn puts it, "And God's good pleasure to fulfill, he came to be my brother." He is the one man who feared, loved, and trusted in his Father above all things. All that he did for you. The life he lived for you. And the death he died for you. The struggle against sin continues. The fact that you will stumble and fall is not an invitation to weak resignation, but rather a renewed call to trust in him who was made sin for you and by his sacrifice on the cross has made satisfaction for your sin. It is an invitation to let his holy gospel have its way with you, working in you, creating that trust in him who has indeed begun a good work in you and will bring it to completion at the day of his coming. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting.